Hello and welcome to My Second Life. This is a podcast where we talk about getting your message out to the world and discovering and living your life's true purpose. So this is a show for those of you who are out there who have come to the halfway point in your life and you realize that you haven't gotten that message out. You haven't been living your life's true purpose. Maybe you haven't discovered what it was until now you're realizing that, you know what, I've got something to say to this world that needs my message. People need to hear this. I want to help people. I want to get this message out and do it in a big way. So if you have come to that turning point in your life where you are ready to make that career change or ready to make that life change and you're ready to get that message out to the world, but maybe you're not sure of how to get started in doing it, that's what this show's about. So today, our topic is going to be finding the courage to express your voice. Now, last week in the episode, I talked about a particular time in my life where I was working at a job that, you know, when I took on the job, there was a lot of hope that I had, and I really believed that this job was going to end up being my purpose, or it was a way that I was going to be able to express the message that I want and bring it out to the world. And what happened really pretty quickly was that it flip-flopped in the blink of an eye, and before I could realize it, I was in a job where rather than doing what I really wanted to do, what I was passionate and driven to do, it quickly became a job where I was really doing what I had to do to make ends meet. And I was kind of doing what others expected of me. And, that really took away a lot of passion and purpose that I had, and it really took a lot out of me. So, in finding that purpose in my life and having the courage to express my message and get my voice to be heard, I had to go through quite a bit of changes. And, one of these changes, I guess we could say the catalyst to this change happened at that job. See, there was one incident that really was the turning point for me. And, I'm going to take you back to this incident and share with you, what it was and how it sparked me to change. And, hopefully you'll find maybe somewhere in your life, either now or before, that there's some similarity in this with you. So I'm going to take you back to that time where, I was at this job, and just to give you a little bit of background and an idea of where I was at, I'll briefly tell you a little bit about it. So I took a job at a physical therapy clinic in my area, and the reason that I took the job was because they were looking for somebody to create a wellness program for them. So what they wanted was when the patients that were going through physical therapy completed their physical therapy and were ready to get back into living a more physically active life. Well, a lot of these patients were intimidated or afraid to get back into going to like a gym and starting an exercise program because they either weren't sure of what to do and they were a little bit worried about getting injured again. So they wanted kind of, a program in there that was geared to help these people out. And I was that person that took on this role of developing the wellness program, creating it. And, when I took it on, I had big visions for it because I really thought, man, this is a way that I'm going to be doing what I want to do. I'm going to build this thing up, and then I'm going to bring it out and share it with the world down the road. So I really had some big visions. And, before I knew it, everything that I was hoping for the program, it really started to crumble all around me. I was basically getting my hands tied with being told what I could and couldn't do. Everything that I had done and built a reputation on in helping clients that I was training. I had worked with people who had all kinds of different injuries, and I help them overcome those injuries and achieve goals that they never thought that they could achieve in their life. And I was really proud of that, and I wanted to bring that to this clinic. And you know, the director just, I didn't know it at the time I took the job on, but you know, long story short, she had some major issues with some of the ways that, you know, the techniques and things that I was doing. And so, you know, before long, I couldn't do this, I couldn't do that. And the things that I had really built my biggest successes on, I wasn't able to do anymore. So, you know, and taking you back into this incident that I'm talking about, or that I talked about before, basically, I got called into the office one day, and by the director, and you know, she wanted to have some words with me about, you know, what I was doing within this program. So, you know, I got called in, and we sat down, and she was behind the big desk, and I was in the little chair, you know, across from her, and she was, you know, mentioning some things about what I was doing in the program. I, you know, like to do assessments on some of the new patients that were there, or patients that, you know, were beginning a fitness program. And the reason I did it is because they needed it. In my opinion, you know, that's what I think they needed. And I needed to look at certain things to gather information before putting together a fitness program. Well, you know, the director had a problem, a major problem with me doing assessments. Now, you know, I wasn't overstepping any of my bounds in my role. You know, this is what I was more than qualified to do. And I had plenty of experience doing these assessments. I'd been doing them for years, for a decade. Well, you know, she had other thoughts in mind, and basically told me, and I'll never forget it, you know, I could take a lot of criticism, you know, and you know, I've taken criticism and I've taken compliments over the years. But this was one incident where, you know, it really went beyond, and it really, really got to me and really affected me in a bad way. So basically what she told me was that, being that I was not a licensed physical therapist, that I was not skilled enough to do what it is that I'd been doing for a decade. Now, again, I had built a reputation and a business for a decade doing what I had been doing. And I was proud of a lot of the things that I did and the people that I helped. You know, I was really happy to do it. And in one instance, I remember those words. She told me that, "You are not skilled enough," and that being lesser skilled than the therapist there didn't qualify me to do what I wanted to do. So basically, you know, there were other things that were said, but I'll never forget the feeling, because I could feel it within me as those words pierced me. They just pierced my being, and I could feel them seeping in me. And within, I could feel my face growing bright red, and I was literally like, I don't know if I was visibly shaking, but you know, if you've ever had that feeling where you're just getting so angry and things just wrenching at you to where you feel like inside you're just shaking and about to burst. And I, you know, I'd always been a person to speak up for myself. And, you know, when I felt that either I was being mistreated, or, you know, somebody was you know, talking down to me, I would definitely be that person to defend myself. Now, here's where this incident, you know, changed a lot of things. And, you know, I'm not too proud of how I reacted in this situation, because I'll tell you what happened. I was about to really voice my opinions very strongly to this person. And right about as those words were going to just make their way out of my lips, I felt myself just kind of tighten up and almost bite my tongue and shut my mouth. Now, if you're wondering, well, why didn't you say anything? Why didn't you do it? Well, the reason why has to do with what happened next. See, remember, now this job became quickly my source of income. You know, I left my business that I was building for a little over a year at the time, and I had left it to take on this job because I felt that this job was going to be the catalyst to really big things for me. So also, you know, this was the only source of income that I really had. I mean, I had a little bit of things going online and everything, but nothing that I had a stable enough income to leave this job at the time and then, you know, make my way doing my other things. So I thought about my wife, you know, and I thought about my daughter. And those images of those two people, the two most important people in my life, came into my mind. And I had to shut my mouth because had I voiced my opinions, we would have had words and there would have been disagreements. And I wouldn't have probably done it. Let me just be very honest and upfront with you right now. I would have either walked out of that job right there or I would have gotten fired. That's it. I felt that strongly about it, but I didn't do it. And, you know, I guess you could say in a way, fear held me back. You know, who's to say that I shouldn't have spoke up for myself right there and I should have either walked out or I would have gotten fired, but I could have said, so what? Because I could have gotten something else, right? I mean, I could have done something else, but I shut my mouth and I bit the bullet and I walked out of the office red-faced and I was upset with literally, I mean, I wasn't just feeling upset like something in my mind or from a mood standpoint. I physically felt sick. I felt physically sick to my stomach to the point where I felt like I was going to throw up. It was that bad. And I remember talking to a coworker and voicing my, you know, opinions to him and my frustrations, and I was venting it out, but it didn't really matter at that point. Yeah, he was compassionate and everything, and he was on my side, but you know what? That didn't make my situation any better because I didn't voice it to the person that I should have voiced it to at the time I needed to. All right, so why do I take you back to this incident? Because this was a turning point in my life. See, after that happened, I sat long and hard. After that happened, when I got home, my drive home, my night, my next days and weeks, I was just at my wit's end, and I knew I had to get out of this place. So I began devising an exit strategy. See, I knew deep within that I had a message, a passion, a purpose to share with this world. I knew I had the ability to help people in a way I knew how to do. And I'll be damned if I was going to let anybody talk me down out of that. And, you know, interestingly enough, I knew that even though I was dealing with licensed physical therapists, that I had a very unique approach to helping people that was completely different than anything that they were doing. And one of the things that really bothered me was that I was willing to learn from them because I was always looking for different ways to improve what I could do. And I guess that I felt that I had something to offer them as well that they could have learned from. And again, had I felt strongly enough about it, I would have voiced it to the director on that day and let her know, you know what? Let me have a time where I can show you some of the things I do because I guarantee that you can learn some things from me. And the reason that I do know this as well is not just because I think it, but years before that, I worked for other physical therapy clinics and I had all kinds of positive responses from the therapists and from the directors that I worked with who loved what I did. And they knew that I had some knowledge to share with people. And hopefully, I think that they learned a little bit from me as much as I learned from them. See, so that's what I could have brought, but I didn't bring it up. I didn't at the time have the courage to express my voice. I didn't believe in myself to get that out to the world. So what I did, though, right after that, like I was saying, I was developing an exit strategy because I knew this was not the place where I was going to get to live my purpose and passion and get my message out to the world the way that I knew I needed to do. So that's what I started developing was my exit strategy. So what I did was, you know from the last episode that I had some things online that were going on. Well, you know, I really started getting more aggressive in posting, putting up blog posts and doing videos and, you know, creating things online to develop a presence. You know, I was finding forums online where I could get the word out a little bit. And so, you know, I would post blog posts up on sites that were related to my topic that I was talking about. You know, I was just finding any way that I could to get the word out as best I could. Now, I didn't know where it would lead exactly, but I just knew I had to do something to get out of this place. And that, as you know, eventually led to me getting a huge opportunity in another country to help share my message that I had. And, you know, it was an amazing, amazing experience that I had, you know, but I almost talked myself out of doing it. I'll never forget, you know, I got an email from a gentleman who owns a fitness education company, and he's worked in the United States, and he's worked with people over in his country in Turkey, and, you know, he's done different things within the industry. And, you know, I got the email from the guy, and he was asking me to, you know, if I'd be interested in coming over there and teaching what I knew to a bunch of fitness professionals, and I almost turned it down. And I'll never forget, you know, see, our minds, it's very interesting how our minds work. And I'll share this with you because this happens a lot of times without us even realizing subconsciously what's going on. See, I automatically got that email and automatically thought that this guy was just somebody who was spamming me or just wasn't serious. And I almost deleted the email like right there when I got it. You know, and had I deleted it, I never would have gotten and experienced my passion and my purpose. It was amazing. And the reason why this happens a lot of times is because our minds are geared up in a way that they will automatically take input and information that's coming at us in our environment, and our minds will automatically distort and delete information every bit as much as a computer does it, right? A computer can take information and distort it and delete and do all this stuff to give you what you want, right? And our minds work exactly like that. See, there are studies out there that show that our minds automatically filter out. That means our minds are deleting about 50% of every bit of information and input that we're getting from our environment all the time. So that means that what we're really seeing in our everyday lives, in our world, interestingly enough, everything that we're seeing is only about half of what's really out there. So we're not even aware of it. So what we're seeing in our world is nothing but our mind taking information and distorting it and deleting what does not conform to our beliefs. It will automatically delete it out. So we often never even see the potential or the opportunities that are out there because our mind is deleting and distorting all the information in order to allow us to see only what we already believe. So that means that if we have very limited thinking about maybe the opportunities that exist for us to do something career-wise, well, we're only going to see what we believe. If we believe we can't be something that we really want to be, we will automatically filter out anything that comes at us that might be an opportunity to do that. Our minds automatically delete it. So we only see what we believe. We only see the opportunities that conform to the belief that we can only be what we believe we can be. So it's very interesting how that works. And my mind was working the same way. I almost deleted that email at that time because of that subconscious programming I had, thinking that, oh, I can't do that, or oh, this guy is just full of it. And it would have, had I deleted that email, it would have kept me right where I was at the time. All right, so number one is we've got to become more aware of what's going on around us. And that mental programming is really, really powerful. Now, after taking that trip to Istanbul, it was interesting because then I had gotten another opportunity that came my way. And I had gotten an opportunity for a local company in my area. And the human resource director contacted me. And what this company wanted me to do was to teach a wellness program and provide some education to 40 of its employees. Now imagine this. I come off this Istanbul trip and now all of a sudden another opportunity hits me. And again, this was something that I was a bit skeptical about, even though I was coming off a tremendously successful trip in another country, but still that mental programming was right there. I almost just unconsciously deleted the email again. And it's amazing. Now, think about that. I'm coming off a hugely successful trip and I get another opportunity and I almost delete the thing again, just like I almost did with the Istanbul trip. But luckily I didn't do it. I contacted the person. We set up a meeting. I met the human resource director and the president of the company. As scared as I was, and let me tell you, going into that meeting with the president of the company, I was freaked out. I was nervous. I was scared. And, you know, there was a million different thoughts that were going through my mind that were trying to talk me out of doing this. Remember, just a couple minutes ago, I talked about the mental programming that we automatically will delete and distort all the possibilities that are out there if they don't conform to what we believe about ourselves, right? And I had a million of those thoughts that were going through my head. There was that mental programming trying to talk me out of this opportunity. And luckily, I was aware enough to recognize these thoughts as they were happening. And I know I was scared. I'll tell you, I'm not going to say that I went in there confident and I put those fears aside. I was freaking out. But I knew I had to put one foot in front of the other. I had to get in my car. I had to just drive out there and do it. Because the worst thing that could have happened was they could have told me, you know what, we don't like your idea, so we're not going to do it. And in thinking of that, maybe that was the worst case scenario that could have happened, right? I could have got rejected with my idea. But I had to really look at the situation and think, would I be in any different of a position than I'm in now? If I don't do it, then I'm in no different of a situation than I'm in now. So I might as well try, because what if they do accept it? What if they do want me to do this for their employees? Then what? And what might that lead to? So fortunately, I went to that meeting and I presented my plan, my outline and what I wanted to do, and presented the whole kind of project to them. And guess what? I got hired to do it. And I got hired for a 3-month contract. So this was a great thing. So, you know, one thing led to the other. And, you know, I just took the little steps in finding the courage to express my message and to get my voice to be heard. And, you know, so this led to some great things. Now, the last thing I'll talk about is what I'm working on right now. And that is, you know, going through this program, it taught me a little bit. See, I've learned to become comfortable speaking to groups of people, but I know that I can be better at it. And I know that this is something that I want to do. See, my second life is all about becoming an author and a speaker. So I want to be as best I can be as a speaker. And I know that there's things I need to improve. So how I was sitting there thinking for the past couple of weeks, how can I improve my speaking? So, I remembered, there's a group called Toastmasters. That's an international group. And there's, you know, groups of these of this organization in all kinds of towns and cities and everything. So what they do is they give you the tools to help you become a better speaker. So I finally went there and I just did this yesterday. I went to a local meeting, and interestingly enough, in talking with there was only a couple people at the meeting. So this is how powerful it is to just follow your intuition and to follow the steps to get your voice to be heard. You know, they were in need or are in need of a vice president in charge of public relations. And I guess the spot's been vacated. And I didn't go in there thinking anything of it, but I came out of that meeting and they asked me if I would like to run for vice president of public relations to help get their voices to be heard, to help get more members involved in this whole thing. And I couldn't believe it that, you know, I just show up for a meeting to learn something about speaking, and here I get asked to be a vice president in public relations of this. And on top of that, we were talking a lot about, you know, different ways to get their marketing out and how they're trying to get members involved and enrolled. Well, now I leave the meeting and they want me next week to be a featured speaker for the group. So they're going to market me as a guest author and speaker of this group. Now go figure that, right? So, I mean, but I accepted it. You know, I could have turned it down. I got very nervous when they asked me, but you know, something inside me before that mental programming could utter the words no, some words just kind of spit out of my mouth that said, sure, okay, I'd love to. And I did it. So that's what I'm going to be doing. But again, you know, it's just believing that little part of you, believing in it, to make a start to get your voice out to be heard. All right, so where's all this leading? Well, it's going to lead to an action step, because really all it takes is a little bit of action to get the momentum started in the direction that you want to go. And taking action doesn't mean that you've got to go out and do something grand or something gigantic. It really doesn't. It's just taking one small step in the right direction to get you started toward your second life, to getting that message that you have, to living that purpose that you know you were put here in this world to live, and to get started on doing it. So I want to leave you with one action step. So today's action step is going to be making the decision. Just make the decision that you are going to make a start on living your life's true purpose. Now, if you know what it is, great. Then all you need to do is really just write it down or brainstorm it. What is one small, simple, but doable step that you can take today to get you started in that direction? Now, if you're not quite sure what that passion and purpose is, because, you know, I know I've gone through it for the longest time, knowing I want to do something but not being really sure what it is, then make your action step a time to just sit quietly, lock yourself in a quiet space in a room, wherever it is, free of distractions, with a pen and a piece of paper, and just sit down for 20 or 30 minutes and brainstorm ideas as they pop into your head, whatever they are, and just write those ideas down to get an idea of what it is that you'd like to do. All right, again, it doesn't have to be anything crazy, right? It's nothing too huge. It's just a small step. Because once you start to get clear on what it is that you're here to do, you're going to feel passionate about doing it. You're going to feel something, some energy be rekindled within you, a spark that goes off within you that says, wow, you know what? This is something I want to do. And you're gonna connect with that, and you're gonna be inspired and more motivated to start doing it. And if you know what that purpose is, once you get the action step of something you could do today to get you started, again, you're gonna feel a little more motivated. You're gonna feel that momentum start to kick in. You're gonna have that fire within you. It's gonna start to light itself up within you. All right, so that's the small action step of today. Now, what you can do also as just kind of a mental exercise here to get the ball rolling is to think of a time in your life when you were successful at something. Now, this could be something really big that happened in your life at some point, or it could be something really, really small. The key here is just to get your mind focused on the times where you were successful rather than being focused on the things that have not gone your way or things that you failed at, all right? So Focus on that. Find a time. Think back to a time where you were completely successful at something, big or small. Just find it and write it down. And write it down on a little piece of paper, on a little 3x5 note card, and keep it with you. Put it in your pocket. And you want to have that in your pocket where any time during the day that you are feeling like you're afraid of failure or something negative happens, have that card with you, pull it out, and read that success of yours, all right? So it's very important to do that. So those are your action steps to get started on your second life today. All right, so I'm going to leave you with those action steps. And again, I'd love to hear any feedback that you have, any stories that you'd like to share, or anything that you'd like to offer that might help other people, inspire them and motivate them to live their passion and purpose and get started on their second life. And I invite you to come and join me on my website here at meetup.com/my-second-life. Again, it's meetup.com/my-second-life. All right. So until next week, this is Kevin Yates telling you to live your passion and live your purpose and get that message out to the world, because the world needs your message and you've got to get that out and get started on it. All right. So get it going, and I'll talk to you next time.